This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
This is Love Sport Radio.
Oi, oi.
With the London Football Fan Show. Friday night means a double, I was going to say a double London header. What else do we talk about on here? We talk about London clubs, don't we?
No, we talk about Chelsea on this show.
I know, but Friday night in general.
There's only one team
in London.
We don't
care what happens after this show. We only care about this show.
He's getting right uppity, you know that. He's
no, I'm being factually accurate.
Can I just say there's one team in London with the European Cup?
How's Ollie Solskjaer?
Who put the ball in the German's net?
Yeah.
It's one a treble, isn't it?
You're going to get relegated?
No.
I think you might. I'm going to put some money on
Come on. No. Don't be like that. I've had it from Scousers this week, but everyone forgets that Jurgen Klopp took Mainz down, didn't he? Nearly relegated Borussia Dortmund as well. But hey.
Jurgen Klopp's won nothing.
Jurgen Klopp, man.
He's lost three finals, but he smiles a lot and he hugs players.
Oh,
so it's great.
He looks
like Flegel from the Banana Splits.
It's brilliant. Liverpool in their best period in years and they've won nitto.
Do you remember when Jurgen Klopp said to Chelsea, how hard must it be that you're like best ever run, you're only 2 points clear top of the league? Liverpool's best ever start of the season and they're 1 point clear. Thank you.
Still 1-0.
Anyway, still 1-0, yeah.
This is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast. Thank you very much for joining us. Compliments of the season to you and yours. And I extend my compliments to those sitting in front of me on the left hand side of the flank is Jonathan Kidd.
Hello, everyone.
You look like an actor.
I'm feeling very actorish, thank
it's
you.
It's a scarf.
Shall I call everybody love?
Is that a scarf or a hat?
Both.
Oh, okay. Right, fair enough. We require a picture of that to go on Twitter later.
It's an upper middle class balaclava.
Yes, it can go.
Looks like he's about to go on an SAS raid.
It does as well.
An actor's SAS raid.
That would mean just going to the pub.
Yeah, plastic guns with no bullets.
Street boy.
No guns at all. Yeah.
Street boy from South
London. Great to be here. It's great to be on the show. How are you, Dan?
This is the Chelsea.
Splendid. That's right. Yeah, let's speak proper like.
Dan Silver's down the middle.
Dan Silver.
Down the middle.
He's down the middle. And on the right hand side is in the gaffer's chair is Mr. Stamford Chidgewatt, son.
Yes, I am very well. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm a bit sad tonight. It's our last show of 2018.
It is. Can I just say it's been emotional.
It's been a great, fun year.
6-7 months.
March, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It's been interesting.
It's been great fun. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah, likewise. It's been an honour, a privilege and a pleasure. And I missed the best show out of it. I missed Spy, but hey, we'll have him again in 2019, hopefully. Plenty on the way this evening. We are looking back at Chelsea-Bournemouth, looking back at Brighton versus Chelsea, looking ahead to Chelsea versus Leicester. Plus, Chidge, we got a quiz.
Yes, we've got a quiz. And because I'll be very honest with you, my attempt at trying to be clever last week singularly backfired. And there was not a lot of love for it. Or I can't even remember what it was. I've expunged it from my memory now.
But isn't that because you got it wrong?
Well, we did make a bit of a Horlicks of it. That is true. But I've gone back. I've gone back to what made the Chelsea Fancast quiz great. So it's very simple tonight. Which players have played for both Leicester and Chelsea? And I have found 18.
18?
Oh, yes, 18.
Wow.
So what people are going to do, they need to tweet either at Love Sport Radio or at Chelsea Fancast, or they can phone us up, actually, 0208 7020.
I'd like that. Excuse me, in the middle of the number.
You never interrupt me when I'm reading the telephone number.
Jonathan, yeah, absolutely true. Amateur. That's really awful.
Very
amateur.
Bad.
Unbelievably amateur. Amateur.
Shall we try that? Yes.
7025.
Amateur shower.
Shower. Right. Shower.
Shush. 1, 2, 3, be quiet. 0208 7025. 8. There we go. So there we go. Give us a call. Let us know. Or tweet us, you know, as I said, at Love Sport Radio, at Chelsea Fancast. Great. I love them.
I love them too.
They're great fun.
Should we look back at sort of the weeks? Just, you know, what's happened this week? Gatwick. I mean,
drones.
You know, drones, yeah. It's probably just that some guy is in like a car somewhere.
You know what?
A tent.
As an aside to that main story, I've also heard that that's quite an issue for football clubs too. I think it was a story I was hearing in Germany where people are, because you know people are always trying to spy on squads when they're training.
Are they?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently there were some drones in Germany. I can't remember the team now, but so apparently it's quite common.
Doesn't Sarri use them anyway as a tool, a tactical tool to look at the players?
Yes, he does. Training. Maybe it's Sarri.
Hold on a minute. I heard Tony Pulis does it so he can measure the height of the passes when they go forward.
Check for Pulis.
Exactly.
There's a new job at Gap.
Come on. You're better than that. You are so much better than
I'm
that.
I'm not better than
Checkbook Pulis. It's like the same people who call Man United Manure and, you know, Liverpool. Come on. You're not sick.
I'm sorry.
Chelsky.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't like that.
I didn't mind that originally.
Wet spam.
Spurs. Yeah. You know, come on, man.
Spurs.
You're not sick. This ain't the playground.
I'm sorry.
This is the Chelsea Fancast. Yeah,
we're better than that. I'm sorry.
It's been a long week for Dan, to be fair.
It has.
It's been a very long week.
A very long lunch.
Have you had a cry because of Jose? Just very
quickly. Not really, no.
What do you think?
A cry?
just, you know. Is that work?
It came out of left field a little bit.
No, I
thought it'd be a
tournament. After Sunday, he had a lot of people on his back, and there was a moment where they panned to Woodward and Bobby Charlton.
Yeah.
And as everyone knows, Bobby Charlton can't stand the guy.
He didn't want him in the first place.
And Ed Woodward's just given him that shake of the head. Monday, he was in London visiting his family, and United were off. And apparently Tuesday, when he set up training, he was told, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, it was needed, to be honest. You know, people are talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as if, like, you know, this guy's going to be our long-term manager.
Saviour.
No, he's coming to bring the fans
till you get Poch in summer.
Yeah, well, effectively, yeah. The Spurs fans who were on yesterday just did not like me saying that, but it's the truth.
Poch.
I mean, there is a theory, actually, because this. I mean, I wrote an article about it this week, actually, and I was weirdly quite sympathetic with Mourinho in a sense. I mean, this is almost an exact replay of what happened at Chelsea. And he's lost.
What, it's a day after?
Yeah, well, it was
3 years and a day, or 2 years.
3 years and a day, yeah. But it's almost an exact replica. He's fallen out with so many key players. He's fallen out with the board. He's miserable as sin. He looks like a wet. Well, I think I described him as looking like a bulldog chewing a wasp for most of the season. And, you know, in a sense, he thoroughly deserved to get the boot. But I do have some sympathy with him because I still think that there's something going on. I've been saying this for months, saying it when he was at Chelsea. There's something not quite right about him. He is a shadow of the manager and the man that he was when he was with us the first time. For God's sake, Jose, take a year off. Get away from the game. Recharge, reassess, reflect on what, you know, why you love the game. Because if he goes back into a job again now, I think exactly the same thing will happen. And I think he needs to break away from the game.
I mean, there was the argument after his dad was sick for a very long time, that he really struggled with dealing with stuff because he was forever going back to Portugal. Yep. His dad took, unfortunately, 2 years before he passed away. and he's, I think he's very close to his family.
But in this instance, isn't he frequently gone back to London? He's been in his hotel all the time. That's right.
Nice hotel, Larry. Lovely hotel.
Yeah, £570,000 over 3 years. But I think the problem with Mourinho is, arguably, he's not adapted his game. I think Mourinho in 2004.
Completely agree.
He was very much like, you know, these players. They take an aggressive attack, whereas now the players now are like Pogba and £200,000 a week. They don't respond to that kind of run.
And that is why I think someone like Pochettino is the next, you know, thing in terms of the style he plays, the style of football he plays. He's very progressive.
You look at Wenger. Wenger hasn't really advanced himself, and he got found out. Yep. I mean, apparently when Oxlade-Chamberlain went to Liverpool, they were so shocked at how unfit he was, based on the Arsenal training.
But you know, the idiocy of Mourinho going to Man United, I mean, I think it must be very difficult for him, because there is no doubt that for most of his manager, in fact, nearly all of his manager career, he has always won trophies playing the way that he plays, which is very cautious, pragmatic football. Yep. It's really built around counter-attack and power. You know,
but it's evolved into that.
Well, I was going to say, it has evolved into that, I agree, because I know that it was very different when he was first at Chelsea, but essentially, he has won using the same recipe, and yet you cannot go to Man United and play that way. Man United's whole tradition since the 60s, possibly even before that, has been built on attacking wing play. So to go there and give them that football, it was only ever going to end up one way, I think.
But you think, Mourinho, first season he won 2 trophies, second season he came second, and arguably against Man City, who are head and shoulders above everybody, this is where I sort of see it
not working out. Ed Woodward's the biggest idiot here. He gave him a new contract in January for no apparent reason. United finished 19 points behind Man City, and in the summer he goes, there's Diego Dalo, you know, a random right back, you know, who's, you know, going to hopefully develop into a squad player. Lee Grant, a third choice goalkeeper, and Fred, who we're not really sure if you want him, but there you go, we're going to sign him for you. How can you sign them, you know, and expect to close the gap of 19 points?
Same with us. The year after you won the league.
It's baffling.
Didn't sign the right players.
Absolutely baffling. We're going to take a short pause. We'd love to hear from you this evening. 0208 70 2558. We're going to begin our reviewing process next. How about that, kiddo?
I'd like that.
This is Love's.
Yeah, good evening. This is the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio, the last show before Christmas. Towards the last show before Christmas, all was silent in the house, apart from Chidge ticking away on his iPhone.
I'm doing work. I'm tweeting out the quiz question.
We don't even know what it is. Tell us.
You have. I told you in the first part. Were you asleep?
Did you not listen?
Clearly.
Should I do it again just for your benefit?
Yeah, if you could.
Okay, tonight's quiz, going back to our...
No, the Leicester players who played for Chelsea.
Yes.
What about the other question that you're going to be asking?
No, that's it. There's only one tonight.
But you, it's in the script.
No. Oh, no, that's for us to talk about generally. We don't need a response to that.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to talk about it.
I was looking for a major response.
Should we look back at the game against Bournemouth?
I know the answer to that one, basically. So we don't have to talk about
Bournemouth. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's. Dan, start us off.
I think it was the most comprehensive 1-0 we've had for a long time. I think we complete control. If everything showed that we lack a proper forward, it was that game, because we created so many chances. We had no strikers, and we were just very, very like.
Let's be frank. Giroud was poor. Wasn't
poor.
He was very poor.
Poor. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. That's one of the worst games I've seen for us.
I thought Loftus-Cheek was outstanding. Arguably his best game for us.
Man of the match. Yeah.
He was so like dominant, and he's really looking like a player.
He still has that business that he does where he sort of barges into the player while controlling the ball at the same time that Hullet used to do, which I was very impressed by.
He's such an enormous bloke. He's such a unit, isn't he? I thought Pedro was great when he came on. I mean,
he was like a kid who. With a beach ball, wasn't he, Pedro? I'm going to run across the whole of the pitch and back again, and I don't care.
And if it shows anything else, that Callum Wilson is not a man for Chelsea.
Well, I don't know. I was a bit. Yeah, we're getting on to that.
Do you know what? I want to talk about Loftus-Cheek. I mean, I'm. You see, because I'm very irritated because I couldn't go to the match, as you know. Dan had a ticket for me, but I couldn't get out of work. And of course, it wasn't on the flaming telly, and I hate that. So I listened to Talk Sport, and Ian Holloway who, you know, is in equal measures comedic and irritating. But he was just going nuts for Loftus-Cheek. I thought he was going to wet himself at one point. So the only thing I've seen, I haven't actually, you know, stayed up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch, you know, the full
like
night, like Jonathan does.
Yes.
I'm just an amateur. Jonathan is a professional. But I have to work, so, you know, I don't have much.
So do I.
Actually, I know, you do. You work very hard. Cheap jibe, Terrence.
Horrid.
That was a very cheap
Horrid.
Jibe. You work harder than me, actually, if the truth were told. But anyway. So all I've seen is this wonderful kind of clip reel of Loftus-Cheek that somebody put up on Twitter. But so I'm asking you, you know, is that the best he's ever been for Chelsea? Because this is the impression that I'm left with.
Arguably his best game for us. I think he controlled midfield. He was a beast. He just was running midfield. He was available. All the questions about his stamina, I think, were laid to rest, because I think he was outstanding. Yeah. He really had a great game. And after the game, he was standing in the centre circle applauding the fans, and everyone was so behind him.
Fantastic.
Ruben's always been like the poster.
So good to see him make it, wouldn't it?
He's been the poster boy for the academy for a very long time. I think finally, you know, the patience he showed just to go on loan and then play a few games here, let Surrey develop him. You know, you compare it to Solanke, who's about to go on loan to Rangers, then you're like, he's been outstanding. I was so happy to see him have a brilliant game for us.
But it's taken a long time, because if you remember, Mourinho was asked to play him by Abramovich. He was supposed to be the poster boy then, and he played in that. Was it a game against? Was it Villa he played against?
I think it might have been.
And he was substituted at half time and then disappeared for the season practically.
I think
because he just wasn't ready for it.
I think the Palace loan did him really good, because I think he learned in an arguably struggling team, and he still was standout play, went to the World Cup, did really, really well.
Giving him confidence.
And his comeback is be patient. He's respected Sarri. Sarri said on numerous occasions he's not quite ready. And game by game, he's getting more and more involved. And I think he's not far short from starting.
I'm still not convinced what position he's supposed to be playing in.
He
was playing right wing for a period. And somebody actually said to me, oh, you should play striker, they said to me.
Clayton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clayton's a big fan.
No, it was a guy next to me as well said that.
Yeah.
It's more a guy of a kind of character like that.
You think if you look at him, you put him with...
No, Ron's like that.
Ron's like that.
Ron wasn't there.
I thought Kovacic had a decent game because he was great.
Oh, Kovacic was fantastic.
I'd agree.
Until he gets the final third, then he can't.
Oh, he can't shoot at all. He even had an air shot, didn't he? At one stage.
He can't pass the top. But if you think, take Kovacic out of the equation, you've got like Kante, Jorginho, Loftus-Cheek. That's such a great balance in midfield.
But Dan, you know, I think when it comes to Loftus, I think you're right. Maybe he's like a fine wine. He just needed to mature a bit. And let's face it, people, let alone footballers, all mature at different stages, don't they? But I was very struck the other week. By what Ray Lewington said. Of course, Ray, you know, old Chelsea player, Jonathan would have seen him play. Before he's the assistant to Ray Hodgson, of course. And he did a kind of a, you know, he was like the guest at the Chelsea, not the Chelsea supporters, just the Palace Supporters Trust meeting. And he was saying to them that they would have him back like a shot. And Ray said he's the best player he's ever worked with. The best player he's ever watched.
Hodgson said that.
No.
Ray Lewington. Sorry, yeah.
Well, listen, there's never been any question about his talent at all. I think he just needs to find, you know, a role within the Chelsea midfield and see how he does. I think he's got the physicality to compete at the best. He's hungry, he's got desire, he's got...
His personality's matured, he's evolved.
I have a question about Loftus-Cheek. Do you think if he was at any other sort of top four, top six club, he'd be a sure starter in their lineup?
No.
Okay.
Some of them, yeah.
Okay,
Tottenham.
Man City. Who do you pay for Man City instead of who?
Yeah.
Put it this way.
Liverpool.
I'd forgotten they had Ilkay Gundogan at some point last season. I've forgotten about him completely.
But he does. He mixes and matches, doesn't he?
Was he
Guardiola? He doesn't.
Well, I mean, look. If you want to make the comparison, you know, City have got Phil Foden.
Yeah.
He's not getting a start every week, although I think he's a bit younger than Loftus-Cheek, so that's maybe an unfair comparison. But we know that Klopp has put a lot of the youngsters in, Gomez and Trent Alexander-Arnold, so we know he might have done it. Spurs, we know they've done it to a degree.
Once again, he's done it because they've been playing well.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And Alexander-Arnold's the only one.
You have to
Gomez.
Gomez, they bought.
Okay. They have to impress once again within training, and I think we've actually benefited from being in the Europa League.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's
we
given
said this.
We said this. We
to
said
our
this.
Credit, we said this at the beginning of the season, didn't we?
Yeah, we said absolutely.
But the thing is, I'm just wondering. I think Dan's got a point actually about his confidence and whether he believes he belongs there in that company. And I think that if he gets enough game time at the moment. And he is confident enough, and more displays like he put in. I mean, you know, that was an important match. Sarri's desperate to win a trophy. It's clear as day that he is. So he put him in an important match, gave him an important role, and he played really well and confidently. I'm just wondering, the more he does that, the more we will see of the Loftus-Cheek that was just spellbinding at youth level with all those skills, the way he dominated matches. It's just really exciting to see it.
Very quickly, we've had a reply from a certain Mr. Beerman, who's tweeted us in saying, for Ed Woodward, read Michael Emanalo. Both were mouthpieces for the owners. And Tim Rolls has said, good point, Clayton.
Yeah, definitely right.
Love that.
Because Ed Woodward is the Glazers' pick, isn't he?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Bit dodgy. Anyway, we're going to carry on looking back at the Bournemouth game, and we're going to be looking back at Brighton next.
This is Love Sport.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah.
Are you a fan of this one, Chidge?
Moving down that line. Bit of Chris Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, he's who? Right. Chris Ray.
Dan?
Isn't it? Chris Rea?
Yeah.
Isn't he a...
What?
You fan?
Yeah.
No, good. Just want to make sure.
He wrote some good tunes.
You know, I've told you lot at Love Sport. They had the temerity to ask me, it was Mike, I think, on the breakfast show or something. He says, what Christmas song do you want to walk on to? I said, The Greedies, Merry Christmas. And he looked at me like I'd landed from Mars.
Yeah.
Thin Lizzy and the Sex Pistols, best Christmas song ever.
Well, what about that fella that did I Believe in Father Christmas? Do you remember I Believe in Father Christmas?
That was some...
begins with G.
Giles.
Giles, yeah.
He was in... King Crimson originally.
Yeah, Emerson, yeah. Lake and Park. Greg,
that's the one. Yeah, Greg, right. Greg
Emerson.
Greg Emerson. Yeah. He did. That's a good one.
That's not bad.
A good one. I'm a big
Greg Lake.
Boney M, mate.
I had a choice of one in three, and I still got it wrong.
Yeah, and it's not story Greg, of my life, Greg Palmer either.
Yeah. No,
Boney M.
I'm tired, man. What can I say?
Let's look back at the game against Bournemouth again. Chelsea's 34th semi-final since 1994. Well, they're into it.
It is amazing that,
and it's nice to be playing against Spurs. Actually,
it's a great stat.
Yeah, 34 semi-finals is.
I've got it here. Hang on, I can tell you who they are. Actually, if I can find a piece of paper, I nicked this from Chad, the great Chad Meister.
Chelsea Chadder.
Yeah, since 1994, 34 semi-finals. That's 13 FA Cups.
Hmm.
9 League Cups, 7 Champions League. That's impressive, isn't it? 3 Cup Winners' Cups, 1 Europa League, and 1 Club World Cup semi-final. I think I'd find it hard to find anybody else who's done better than that.
But the 7 Champions League leagues and only having one win
is very, very, two finals.
Yeah.
But still such a shame. Yeah, but if that proves nothing but the fact that you do need a bit of luck to win cups, I think. Because if you go back, we should have beaten United in 2008.
Mm.
We were the better team on the night, and we had no luck with the penalties, as we know. We had no luck against Barcelona in that semi. We had no luck against Liverpool in that semi. So you need a bit of luck to go and win trophies. Sadly for us, it didn't go our way. We've only won it once.
It would be nice if we could get back into the Champions League and show that consistency. And I actually think that Sarri is the man for that. Yeah,
I really do. Blimey, Jonathan.
I know.
Big call.
I know, I am.
I love that, but it's a big call.
It's a very big call. I think he's just getting it right, though. I think he's just trying to... Perhaps he just needs two or three different players, tweak it a bit. I think he'll be given the time. I think they're very pleased with him.
Yeah,
And I think the fact that he's trying to accommodate some of the academy is
as a person, he seems much more affable. He's kind of whereas Conte is quite toxic. He's much more kind of like
Conte was extremes, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Conte,
listen, Conte season one, we all loved him. He was fantastic. We love the passion. We love the drama. Season two, he liked the club. He just got so despondent. Everything was going on kind of surrounding the club, and he was a fiery Italian. That was it. He didn't hold back, and he's the first manager that's kind of actually come out and pretty much had the club over a barrel by you know, his behaviour and what they did and didn't do.
The fact that he's also not keen to take another position somewhere is...
Well, he won't, because he'll get £9 million.
That's right.
He wants the money.
That's right.
In September, whatever it might be, next season. Yeah.
So, just talking about the Bournemouth game, boys, you know, does Sarri, do you think he really needs... I mean, because I do think he's taking it seriously, actually.
Well, the team
I know, that's exactly what I mean. Do you think he has to win a trophy this year?
I think he's got to get top four.
I don't mean for the club, because I think the club have made it perfectly clear they want to give him some time, that they always say that, and then they still fire them when they don't get the top four. But, you know, I think for his own kind of thing, really.
Yeah, I think from a personal viewpoint, the trophy will give him some kudos to all the hard work he's done, you know, leading up to this point.
Trophy's always a good thing, isn't it? To win something. It proves you're a top side.
Yeah, Mourinho won the League Cup in his first Cup of Chelsea.
Well, that was always his first trophy that he wanted to win.
That changed the whole the landscape of Chelsea.
Yeah, but he had won the Champions League the year before.
No, but from a Chelsea perspective.
Yeah, I know, but he had won the Champions League.
Sarri's won nothing, of course, though, finding out.
But then Pochettino's won nothing, and Pochettino's everyone's favourite.
Yes, he is, yeah.
But
Potless Chino.
I think... What do you think about Spurs, having Spurs in the semi? I mean, that was so predictable.
Craig Bellamy said that before.
Dodge. I was just about to bring that up. That is the Dodge of Dodgers things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I presume you've heard it about the Burton.
Mate, if we'd have got Burton, we'd have lost to them.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Craig Bellamy. Can you imagine Pep Guardiola in training must be going, come on, boys, double figures.
They only beat Bristol City last year, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
we got knocked out by them.
Right. You both played, didn't you? They're called the Brewers, aren't they?
Brewers.
So you can see Pep knowing nothing about English football going, oh, we'd be playing a bunch of drunkards. It would be easy, you know, however.
I never knew he was French.
Mm. Well, whatever.
It's all
Europe, mate, isn't it?
He had a go. Yeah. At least he had a go.
Go on then, do better.
Well done.
You're the voice.
No, I'm not criticising.
No, I know you're not. You could do better.
Can you do a Catalan?
You are the impresario of voices.
It's a little more.
Can you do a Catalan accent?
It's a little more there, isn't it? It's a bit more. It's not the.
It all went a bit Wenger.
It's not Manuel from, you know, from Towers. It's from Barcelona.
I know English. I learned it from a book.
I'm going to see Mr. O'Reilly.
Anyway, so are you okay with us getting Spurs? You know, a bit of revenge is a possibility there, I think.
First leg away.
Two-leg affair as well.
Oof. Just make sure if they do win that it's only 2-1, as long as we get a goal, then back to the bridge and...
It's very hard to call.
They won't play as badly as they played at Wembley.
This is the best Spurs team in my lifetime, and I hate to say it.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting.
Yeah. I think we'll beat them.
I think it'll be exciting.
I think it's what worries me. I remember when I first, kind of around the time I got a season ticket for the first time in years, we played Spurs in I can't even remember what incarnation of the League Cup it was in those days, but we won 2-1 at home, and then they cuffed us 5-1 away.
Oh, that was horrible.
Remember that? I couldn't believe it.
But then we beat them. Didn't we beat them 4-0 at the weekend?
Then we did the 4-4, didn't we?
Yeah. 4-0 in the FA Cup and 4-0 in the
That's right, the league. Jimmy Hasselblank, Floyd Hasselblank's hat-trick.
Perfect hat-trick.
I had a T-shirt bearing that legend on it, actually. It was fantastic.
Did you? I wish I'd bought one of those.
I don't know
I've seen it.
To.
I have so many of these.
I couldn't fit into it anyway.
Commemorative T-shirts. Yeah. You can give it to them for Christmas.
It's too late now.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short pause. By the way, there is some Premier League action on tonight. Liverpool are in the Midlands Wolves. To take on Wolverhampton Wanderers. Jurgen Klopp has made two changes from the side that beat Manchester United on Sunday. Nathaniel Clyne and Jorginho Wijnaldum are on the subs bench with Milner and Henderson back in for Wolves. Romain Saiss and Adama Traore both head into the midfield and attack respectively. Elsewhere, and some breaking sports news, and Sheffield Wednesday have sacked Jos Luque, their manager. He only took over in the summer, Jos Luque. But yeah, Sheffield Wednesday have dispensed with the services of their manager. More if we get it. This is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast. Yeah, good evening, it's Love Sport Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. It's Chelsea Fancast, 25 minutes to 8 o'clock across the capital. Let's cross the lines. Dan is in the United States. Season's greetings, Dan.
Season's greetings, lads. How are we all?
All right, Dan, how are you, mate?
As I said to Padraig, I have just finished my big Christmas deal for work. It's officially done, over. I can let 50 pounds of stress out of the tank and be focused on anything else other than work now.
Happy days.
Good man. Well done.
So I only just literally turned on a minute ago, and I wasn't sure in your recapping from the other night how, you know, if anyone has done good enough praise to single out Emerson for doing a reasonably tidy job.
We were about to.
So I timed it well then.
You did. Very good. Gave him the
Carry on, Dan. Fuse away.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll make noises.
About him a few times when I've called up about him, and I think, you know, if anything, now's the time to let him have a go and, you know, push on forward. I mean, he looks like a goal threat. He's got the pace to cover, and I think he could be a very, very useful outlet. I mean, and I don't really buy into the whole set pieces malarkey that Sarri was putting out a few weeks ago about him.
I think also Alonso's playing so badly at the moment, it might be an idea to... give him a go. And also the way that Hazard kissed him after the assist was very revealing. Did you notice? Yeah, they had a big, big man hug together.
A bit of an embrace, didn't
they? It was a huge embrace. It was, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. But I wonder whether it was making a point, because whether Alonso's being... he's also not working in the group as much, or whether it's not working in training for him, and perhaps it's deserved. Perhaps it was a statement by...
Reading a lot into it.
I do. I tend to do that.
The bromance. Yeah, I think, I'm afraid Alonso's been way below his
best. I'm not suggesting that either of them is interested in
none
each
taken.
Other
and
in
not,
that way.
Not that should be a problem.
No, that shouldn't. It isn't a problem if they were interested. But
Dan, do you think he should start then, mate? I think we're all agreed about Alonso being a bit not at the races at the moment. So why not? Exactly.
Yeah, why not? Let him start. I mean, I kind of think... And especially if you look at what Leicester will field out come the weekend, you'd want someone with his recovery pace to chase after Vardy versus, Alonso.
Now is the time to do to swap people about, actually, with all this huge number of games coming up. I interrupted you.
He had a good rampaging run into the box. I think he could have done a little bit better with it. We've seen, obviously, from a set piece earlier on in the season, he can score with his head. So, I mean, I'd like to see him given a run out, since we paid a lot for him, and I think he could be very useful over this large period of games. And I don't even want to get started on talking about Spurs, because, you know, it just winds me up in so badly. My stress will start coming back.
You don't want that to come back. Dan, thank you very much for joining
Happy
us
Christmas,
this
mate.
Evening. Happy Christmas, pal. Do enjoy yourself.
Yes, I have got, you know, because I did promise you a few answers earlier on, and we've had a good response to the old quiz. Dean Mears has said Frank Sinclair. I'm not going to say whether they're right or wrong. I'm going to wait till the end for that, all right, for those of you who are not used to my methods. What else have we got? We've got Dean McAlpin, or at CFC _ Dean. Frank Sinclair, Danny Drinkwater, Mark Schwarzer, although he says, although he has hardly played for us, talking about Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah.
Pointed.
And Mark Schwarzer.
Well, indeed. And James Black, at Jamesy Black, says Dennis Wise. And your mate, Martin the Cabbie. Hello, Martin, the Charlton fan. I hope he's having a safe evening tonight. He's got loads. He's done very well. Keith Weller, Dennis Wise, Schwarzer, Drinkwater, Kante, Huth, Frank Sinclair. So keep them coming in. There are 18 that I have found. I need you to either equal that or do better. And all you have to do is tweet at Chelsea Fancast or at Love Sport Radio or phone us 0208 70 20 558.
Can we just suggest things, even though you're not going to tell us whether they're correct or not? Alan Birchnell.
Yep, it's a good suggestion.
Very good suggestion.
Yeah. He was very moving, actually, when, after the tragedy with the helicopter and the owner.
Well, he's their big pitch side presence, isn't he?
But he was saying all sorts of things how the owner... He was saying how the owner had, really helped him and supported him, It was really very moving. Mm. He's a lovely guy. Isn't he the one that famously kissed Tony Curry? There's that famous picture, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Keith Weller is another possibility.
He's been mentioned. Martin the Cabbie.
Has he already mentioned him?
Pay attention, Jonathan.
I wasn't paying attention.
I know it's the last show of the year. I know. We've only got another hour.
I've given my all for this programme,
you
know.
But you've got it.
Since March.
I'll do my Mourinho, good Mourinho speech. Only another 90 minutes. Come on, Jonathan. Give it all you've got. Good boy. Well done.
It's 81 minutes.
Okay. I never could tell the time.
Very quickly, just a bit of breaking news that we're getting up on one of our screens is that flights have now resumed from Gatwick Airport. Flights have now resumed.
Oh, great. Let's all go then.
From Gatwick Airport.
The Dread Ranger.
Should we carry on talking about
no, let's go to Gatwick. It's open,
game.
Apparently.
Let's do that.
No, let's go. We should go on holiday together.
Yeah,
nice.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Yeah.
Remember that series on Sky One where they all went to Spain and they ended up getting in serious trouble?
Benidorm?
Yes. No.
I don't know what you mean with...
Philip Glenister in it.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah, they just...
And Aaron will be the one.
There.
Aaron will be the one to die first, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, the minor character. You know. Great, wouldn't it? What the hell was that series called?
A bit harsh.
No, it wasn't called A Bit Harsh.
I'll have to
good title, though. A Bit Harsh. I
find
like
it. Dan's on the case.
A Bit Harsh.
Dan is on the case.
I'll talk about Bournemouth
while he's
doing that.
Dan never lets us down. Eden Hazard.
Came on and was brilliant.
Yeah, again.
Again.
Did you expect him to come on?
No.
Because he's supposed to be carrying a knock, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he had to come on because they were improving.
They're a
very good side. He's a terrific manager.
Tactically
Eddie
changed
Howe,
it second half.
Well, he's as I've said to you before, he's very good at... He plays cat and mouse.
Breaking news.
Mad Dogs.
Mad Dogs. That's the one.
Well done.
Great
well
series.
Well done.
Sounds like my wife.
I
hope she's not listening. Okay.
She's not.
I'm going to make an on-air apology on behalf of Dan. Julie, he doesn't mean it. He knows that you're lovely, as do we all. There we go. So, okay, sorted. You'll have somewhere to go home
to
tonight.
I'm saying nothing.
You'll have somewhere to go home to tonight.
Anyway,
Jonathan.
What Eddie Howe does and what he did, he's very good at massing and defending and creating a wall, as most parking the bus, essentially, but then breaking at great speed, which is just really, really praiseworthy. But then, what he did in the second half, was he then played Sarri-like. He then pressed, and then they had possession. And Chelsea were completely under the cosh during that period. And that's why Hazard came on, because the game was reversed. There was a period where they looked as if they might score.
How many saves did Kepa make? They had a lot of pressure, but they really wanted
the same way as Chelsea, though. That was the thing with the game.
A game showed that Chelsea lacked a top striker, it was Wednesday night.
But once again, in the first half, we were all over them again.
17 shots.
Yeah. The football in the first half, I thought, was absolutely outstanding.
Excellent. Yeah,
outstanding. We had a decent striker, it would have been 4-5 nil.
Talking of strikers, Callum Wilson, I know you're quite fond of him, JK. Did he fail his audition?
He's also been mentioned today in the Sarri press conference as...
Well, apparently Eddie Howe said he's not available.
They wouldn't want to lose him in January.
What have he said
here? They don't need to tell him, do they?
He said, I don't know about Wilson. As you know, Eddie Howe's a friend. In fact, what Eddie Howe did was he went to Napoli and studied Sarri was doing. I want to see him very happy. We started in the last two matches with Eden as the striker. In the first match, it was only a tactical choice. Then I wanted to see that the solution can work in other situations or not. So I need two or three matches to be sure it's the right solution.
Do you have
in
to
which
be brief?
Case, he won't then... buy a striker, and if he does buy a striker, I'm saying it might not be Higuain, it might be a Mertens, it might be a different kind of player.
My biggest argument is if you want to sign a player short term, you want to sign somebody who gets Sarri's game, so it's got to be Higuain or Mertens. Because if you're going to take a punt on a £35 million, £40 million striker, I'd rather go for Higuain or Mertens, who knows Sarri inside out, than Callum Wilson, who's unproven at the top.
Are there any short-term fixes?
Higuain, given his age.
The trouble is they want huge amounts of money for him, of course, and because Milan wanted huge amounts of money.
Yeah, but they've got Bakayoko. We could do some sort of deal involving Bakayoko.
If they want Bakayoko,
he's been playing really well last few games.
Has he?
Apparently,
he's been playing. He's been playing really well in sort of relation to, you know, the levels seen in like the Iranian Gulf League.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's irrelevant. But listen, I think no one gets a top striker in. Is Wilson the answer? I don't know. I think he was disappointing on.
He was just terribly speedy. But yeah, he had an opportunity, and he was. It's almost as if he. He was a bit nervous because that's the worst I've seen him play. The few times I've seen,
he had a couple. I mean, but Moussa looked much more lively than he did.
He did actually. Did King.
I tell you, it was fantastic. Brooks in midfield.
He was
outstanding.
He was
what
brilliant.
A player!
I agree. Completely.
Really impressed with him. He really kind of thought what a quality player he was.
Yeah, not a very very good player. We are going to wrap this up now. We're going to take a short pause and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Chelsea against Brighton.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio with your Chelsea fan show. 13 minutes to 8 across the capital. We're talking all things Blues until 9 p.m. tonight. We're now looking back at the game against Brighton and Hove Albion. Good old Sussex by the sea. And it was a nice little trip down to the seaside, wasn't it?
It's a great away. I was in here broadcasting at the time, so I couldn't. Not only was I not there, I couldn't even see the flaming game. I've had a bad week.
Two games you've missed.
This is an away game. I don't normally. I mean, it's really hard to get a ticket for Brighton.
Once again, you didn't watch at midnight.
Becoming a part timer.
I have a client at early in the morning.
Yeah, you have to just.
And I take my job very seriously.
Very seriously.
Very seriously.
And not this job.
No, this is a hobby.
It's more tight than Chelsea.
This is a busman's holiday, mate. Some would say it's downright torture. They might be right.
So did you watch the game at all, or did you see some highlights?
I kind of watched
that half.
Well,
hour.
When I got home to Hampshire, I'd already, you know, got TiVo'd Sky's highlights, and then I watched Match of the Day too. So I'm quite thorough.
Good,
with my homework.
Well prepared.
How on earth do you think we did a 2-hour show on it on Monday, Jonathan?
I thought everybody else mentioned it.
Oh, I let you all talk for a change. I wonder why I couldn't remember it. But anyway, it's a good away. It's a good away.
It is, isn't it?
But it was a bit of a... I mean, we've had this pattern, actually, haven't we, for a few weeks.
It's
failing to kill teams off.
Yeah.
But actually, it kind of was in reverse this week, because actually we went into a storming, you know, kind of first half, Hazard on fire again, being brilliant in this new kind of false nine role. And then... You know, again, a bit like Wolves, you know, they got a goal back and we wobbled for the last
20 minutes.
And it
was a terrible goal. It was their first,
it was awful, wasn't it?
First attempt, I think first almost being in our half for half an hour. And the it was just a huge cross to the back post and there were two players standing there unmarked. You think, what's happened there? And it was just headed back into the centre and they score. And from then on, it's just all hands to the pump for the rest of the game. So
it was, but I mean, let's concentrate on the positive for a second, though, because I think it did work very well with Hazard. There seems to be a bit of a conflict because we know that he didn't like it under Conte, but of course, you know, the ball was thumped to him like route one and going right over his head, which I remember watching a few games when he was played in that role and he was completely furious. You could tell how frustrated he was.
I was furious.
Yeah, well, we all were, because it's just a stupid thing to do when you've got somebody who's 5'3".
But it was typical, you know, of Conte's,
but it was,
being in charge.
Well, I think
period.
He was making a point, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he was. He made too many points.
But the fact of the matter is, I think it does work. And I was really intrigued by what Sarri said today in the presser, because he was saying he wants to see how it works against different kinds of teams. He played different ways.
Two or three different matches.
So he's played it against City, who press hugely, have a lot of the ball, but aren't necessarily going to bother putting a couple of men on Hazard and a couple of men on Jorginho, like a lot of teams do. He's played against Bournemouth, who are... I would say somewhere in between kind of a City-style side and a more kind of, you know, kick-em-type side. So that was a nice kind of halfway house. It'd be very interesting to see what happens in Leicester if he does it again. I mean, I know we'll get onto that later. But I think Hazard is not as dischuffed with it now as he was under Conte.
Look, I think he's getting the ball more.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the focal point.
Yeah, but he's getting the ball from the wings. They're not being sent. He's getting it and midfield. He's just getting the ball more rather than coming in from a wide position. So he's actually even more of the star than he has been, and he's delivering the goods every time.
Yeah. His strike rate and his assist ratio this year are best it's ever been, I think.
Yeah,
phenomenal for us.
It makes you appreciate what a fantastic player he is, actually, the more and more. And with the
footballer.
Possibility of his leaving, the more and more, every game I look at him, I look at him completely.
Well,
a fantastic player.
We talked about this on Monday, didn't we? I mean, my fear is, I mean, actually, because this is relevant, because we were talking about it with the Brighton game, he got kicked to pieces.
Yeah.
My worry is that he'll just say, do I really, you know, need to take this kind of punishment every match?
Does that happen at Madrid? Do they get kicked a lot? Well, or is it different refereeing?
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots, like, you know, the butcher Bilbao.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I know, but they're still quite.
Goicoechea, for those of you who are listening in Spanish.
And there's still some, you know,
bless you,
hatchet men in the Spanish La Liga. Some of the, like, you know, like.
But why do I get? Where do we all get this impression from? Because this is one of the reasons cited by Cristiano Ronaldo when he went out to play for Real Madrid, that he wouldn't get the kind of punishment that he was already beginning to take.
Perhaps they're protected more by the referees.
Or maybe they're...
I don't think it's as tough. I don't think it's as tough.
But you not think that the standard of defending is better in the Premiership than in the Liga, and the fact that you've got...
It's better in the Premier League because it's at a faster pace, I find.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And that, I want, you know, because if we were being kind to Brighton, goodness, it is Christmas, so I suppose we can. A lot of those awful challenges on Hazard were basically through incompetence rather than malice.
Well, the look on that poor boy's face, wasn't it? What was his, whether he's a fantastic actor, we said this on Monday, didn't we? Yeah. The referee actually patted him on the back after the fourth one. Well, instead of booking him.
Balogun. Was it Balogun?
No, it was...
Stephen.
Yes, what's his... Stevens.
Stevens.
Yeah, that's right.
Shane Duffy?
No, he didn't fight. No, it was just four in a row from the same plane. He didn't book him because he looked so bewildered. But and he actually said, you could see him saying, I didn't mean to do it. Yeah. I just missed it.
I'm just rubbish.
I'm just,
and therefore late.
You question this whole thing, but how many games does Ronaldo miss in Spain because of a bad tackle? I mean, Hazard gets kicked and this, but he still gets up and carries on. He's very rarely been injured tackle.
But he will get injured, Dan. That's my worry.
That, but he's been 7 years.
How many continental players do you see here that just sometimes just can't fit?
Hazard's adapted to the Premier
League. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's adapted to the Premier League and he knows that it's going to be, I'd say, easier to play in a different league than playing the Premier League. The Premier League's a tough place to play, man.
But I think on the other side of that coin, I mean, we know he dreams of a move to Real Madrid, who are arguably the biggest club. Well, I mean, as we've got a Man United fan in the studio, I'm going to say they're the biggest club in the world.
I can't stand them.
If it wasn't somebody else, I would probably say Man United were. But we know he dreams of doing that. But I do wonder, I think he's not stupid, and I think he knows what a challenge the Premier League is. And I think it is the best league in the world, certainly the most competitive anyway, and certainly the quickest. So maybe that might keep him here.
If Chelsea ends up at Real Madrid... which is possible.
Yeah, but he said he would go and work with Jose again, although one wonders if that was being very ironic or sarcastic.
I mean, I don't think you want to play wing back for Real Madrid, does
he? No.
Exactly.
Yeah, but as I said earlier on, with a bit of luck, Mourinho will stay out of the game for a while because I think he needs it. Mm. The interesting thing, apart from Hazard, and we would be distraught if he went, obviously, but what, Jonathan, is the future for Giroud and Morata? If, let's say, for example, Sarri plays, and I think he will, because from what he was saying in the press, as Giroud played 90 minutes on Wednesday, Morata's still carrying a knock. So it sounds like Hazard's going to play the number 9 again. And it works. What is the future for Giroud and Morata?
Well, I mean, I'm confused by him wanting to buy Higuain or even being associated with Higuain because, probably not, because he's too expensive and he's 31 and Chelsea won't give him more than a year in the deal. Mm. But the fact that he thinks he's a great player and that he played for him at Napoli slightly goes against the whole idea of the...
There's one counterpoint to that, though. You can see if Sarri needs a short-term quick fix, because basically he's got two impotent strikers, then it makes a lot of sense to go and buy a player who has played for him already and who knows the system.
Yeah,
but even if he at the moment seems to be thinking in terms of he'll keep Hazard...
we're not interested, Aaron. We're talking about Hazard
playing. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him outside.
We'll keep Hazard playing in that position. He's actually said in the presser today he's going to give him 3 matches, isn't he, to see against different opponents.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
He wants him to play against Leicester because it's a different setup, because they're mostly park the bus and boot the ball down the pitch and run after it.
So. Well, they're a big counter-attacking side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so, again, it's a different option. So, obviously...
Yeah. I mean, listen, neither striker's... is good enough at the moment. I mean, Giroud's obviously very much a short term. Morata, if he gets his head right and he stays his head right, there is a talent there. He's physically, mentally weak, but as a talented player, he's very good.
But he has been very poor.
He's been massively disappointing. I mean, he's up there with Torres in terms of disappointing strikers.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that because, in many respects, on paper, statistically, Morata has been better than Torres, but I am not inclined to give Torres this huge amount of time we gave him, because I don't know. It's about his attitude that I just can't get my head around. It's a sulker.
He moans. He's always giving the referee grief. He doesn't get decisions his way. He's one of these. He started off like a house on fire for us.
That's the annoying thing, isn't it? He was so good at the beginning. But then, that's the template, and he now doesn't come anywhere near that.
My argument is that you look at Chelsea from January to May last year under the Conte meltdown, every single player was well below par. Bakayoko was doing fairly well until January. Watford sending off Morata. All those players massively underperformed in that last 6 months. And then start of the season... Yeah, he never really picked up.
No. We're going to have to take a short pause. The news is on the way next. This is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home.
The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across six devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast. 3 minutes past eight across the capital. Thank you very much for joining us. Season's greetings to one and all. I hope you're having a great festive season. This one, of course, the last one. Is this? Are you doing one over the next week or something?
No,
maybe
our last Monday show. Our last Monday show was this Monday because, of course, Monday's Christmas Eve, and well, then it's New Year's Eve. So
whatnot, you know,
can't do shows if it's Christmas Eve or
can't
New Year's
that.
Eve.
No. Can't be doing
so
that.
No. This is our last show before the New Year.
There you go. Stamford Chidge is in the hot seat. Dan Silver is down the middle. He is angling for a Wolves win tonight.
Absolutely.
I've just realised, of course, you know, I myself will be all over Love Sport like a cheap suit over Christmas and New Year. So here we go. If people miss the fan cast, they can always listen to me.
They can.
How lovely for
they
them.
They can. Yeah, you're with myself and Bubba next
week. I am,
week.
Yeah. What are we doing, do you know?
Talking about football.
Oh, that'll be all right then. We
are literally going to be talking about, I think...
There'll be a few matches, won't there, around that time?
We'll be just looking over, you know...
It's a few Christmas games.
Bits and pieces, you know. Yeah. So, the man just in the corner, I think, not sure if he's asleep.
He's tweeting.
He's alive!
Hello. Jonathan is alive.
Jonathan Kidd is with us as well. Let's look back at 2018. Yep.
I've got quiz tweets.
I've seen that. Go on.
Yeah. Kerry Hawkins, the lovely Kerry, who finally received his Chelsea Supporters Trust Christmas card today. I know this for a fact because he told me.
Shout out.
He says Keith Weller, which has been mentioned. Also, Muzzy Izzet says CFC since 93.
That's such a shout.
Muzzy,
yeah.
Was it his real name, Muzzet?
Excuse me, Muzzet.
Or Musat. Musat. Mustafa.
Mustafa, is it?
I was about to say that one earlier, but...
Well, you should have done.
Yeah.
Why didn't you?
You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, indeed. So there we go. So sorry to interrupt you. Just to quickly remind people, there are 18 players who have played for both Leicester and Chelsea. There may be more, because I don't always get it right. If you know who they are, if you have any others that make up more than 18, then you need to tweet us at Love Sport Radio or at Chelsea Fancast or phone us on 0208 7020 558.
There you have it. Let's look back at 2018. The best, the worst, and we want the hopes for 2019. How high up does Maurizio Sarri coming in to Chelsea to sort
high.
Of, you know, how
nobody,
right?
Nobody expect, I mean, it does have to, because I think it was... No, none of us, absolutely none of us expected to go on, what was it, Dan, 13 games unbeaten?
We're way above what we thought
we'd
be.
I mean, that was just astonishing. And, you know, to adapt to that style of football, I mean, okay, we could drill down and deconstruct a lot of it, saying, oh, well, we were a bit lucky, or we weren't really playing that well, or, you know, when we did finally get beaten, it had been coming. But I think if you'd have said to any of us before the season started that Chelsea would go on an unbeaten run of 13 games playing a different style of football with a new manager, we'd have laughed at you, wouldn't we?
Absolutely, yeah. And semi-finals of the Drinking Cup, unbeaten in the Europa League. It's been a very, very encouraging start.
I don't know, though. I've always been encouraged by him from the
beginning.
You're
a massive optimist. I love it.
I thought we adapted so well to it.
I mean, fairness, it couldn't have got any worse under the last 6 months under Conte, despite winning the FA Cup. I mean, the poison
that
around.
That was such a bizarre thing to do, was to actually, because that was because Mourinho, actually, his tactics on the
Cup. Well, the thing, Chelsea so scored dreadful. First, that kind of changed, killed, you know, he had to move the bus.
No, we weren't great.
Both, it was a rubbish final, in fairness. I mean, I don't remember either keeping them a good save to make. Chelsea was second in December. This time last year, we were second in the league, and we were getting great guns.
Threw it away.
Literally, he didn't get the players he wanted in January, and he threw his toys out of the pram, and it ended up coming, you know, fifth.
I can tell you where it started. It's when we lost. I mean, there were a lot of nil-nils, actually, early January, if you remember. But we had Arsenal, didn't we, in the League Cup?
We should have won that.
That was a semi-final, wasn't it? And we lost 2-1 up there. But it was actually the draw, 0-0 at home, which screwed us. And we were awful that night.
Awful.
So negative, weren't we? But then, of course, we got whooped by Bournemouth at home, 3-0. And
Watford,
then
4-1.
Watford away, 4-1, which was just... That was the nadir, I think.
And that was arguably...
Apart from losing to Spurs.
That Watford game was something. I mean, Delafeo.
Yeah.
There's the first time ever I've left a Chelsea match early. I mean, at 3-1 on 89, I just thought, that's it, I'm done. I just had enough. And I walked out, and then as I walked
enough,
out...
really. We forgive you.
It was 4-1. And it was... The only good thing was I was home in 15 minutes, because I live quite close to Watford. So that was... Every club and all that.
Get a cup of tea.
But you know what? There were lots of... This is. I think it's really interesting when you go back. Because I've printed out the entire season. Well, the entire calendar year.
Yeah.
All right. And it's really odd when you look back at this. Because I always think, oh, what did I not like? Losing to Spurs, losing the record, that was horrible. Watford and Bournemouth, that was horrible. Thinking that was the only thing that was horrible. But it's not true. We also... The way we went out to Barcelona... Oh. Which I thought was hugely, you know, Courtois not keeping his legs.
And also
clean.
Him embracing Messi at the end was such a low.
Do you remember losing to Man United 2-1, followed by losing to City 1-0 in the most awful game
that was
ever?
Abysmal.
I forgot that they were back to back. It's amazing what the memory does.
I don't
to
really
you.
Have too much issue with a coach embracing a player. I mean, it doesn't really bother me. Because they've obviously got it's his pleasure.
Well, it was the happiest I'd seen him for about the last four
months.
Doesn't
bother
me. It really bothered me.
It bothers me more that players don't celebrate when they score against world clubs. I don't care if you used to play for whoever. You celebrate because you play for us now. I don't care.
I don't think I've ever seen a player, a manager, embrace a player who's
Mourinho does it all the time. Mourinho did it all the time.
No, not that happily.
Oh, he did. Not, well, we beat Barcelona in that 4-2. He was, like, coming on. He was shaking hands.
No, it wasn't when you've won. When you've lost.
I don't. It doesn't bother me.
No, no. You should punch him in the face, obviously.
Doesn't bother me. I
you should
think.
Do what...
Everybody knows that.
You should do that great thing that Deschamps had done in his face. Who was the Leeds manager who used to play for Arsenal?
David O'Leary.
Yeah, he went up to him to shake his hand, and at the last minute took his hand away. And went,
I remember that.
Or did Barthez, and who was it? His head. Did Barthez used to kiss?
Blank.
Harry White. Well, Barthez never used to kiss. I don't think he could reach it.
Exactly.
You know, but Larry White, yeah.
The absolute worst. I know Man City. So many people say that was awful. But for me, it was the 3-1 defeat to Spurs.
That was horrific. That was the worst.
It was just the worst, wasn't it?
You know, we don't lose to Spurs. I hadn't lost to Spurs since I was before puberty. That's how bad it was.
April Fool's Day as well. Yeah. They were certainly April Fool's.
It was horrendous.
Awful. But, you know, we did win the FA Cup.
I still won one.
That's
Spurs.
A high point.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed great. The day out. We had a great day, didn't we?
And they didn't have a T-shirt or a mug.
What do you mean they didn't have a T-shirt?
In the shop.
Which is really annoying because I haven't got a mug from last year. I've got loads of mugs in my kitchen from Chelsea trophies.
Yeah.
And I didn't get one for last season, which is really annoying.
It's because of the new policy of the people running the shop.
Our new sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, funnily enough, of course, we got whooped again by Spurs later in the season. That's a pretty low point as well. I mean, I can't remember a calendar year where we've lost twice to Spurs quite
we haven't.
Badly.
We haven't lost to Spurs in a calendar year for that.
For years?
No.
30 years, maybe. Good. I don't know. Somebody out there, Chad will know. Chad will know.
Should we take a pause and come back to this?
Yes, if you want.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan Kidd's going to be talking about a year in hospitality for us and how the high point was the change of caterers. So I can't wait to hear about it. Join us.
Ducks of Edison.
Well, there you go. Join us next on the Chelsea Fancast. It's Wolves 0, Liverpool 0, by the way. 10 minutes gone there. Chelsea Fancast shot me bolt too early there. And,
there's a word for that.
Yeah. We're not going to say it.
Premature.
Yes. So, Jonathan, tell us about the changes in hospitality.
Well, I was very disappointed by the fact that the waiters normally wear all white outfits with bow ties, and they changed it to black with white gloves, and I felt that
shocking.
Was absolutely shocking.
And they are very nice up there, though, aren't they? They deserve a bit of a shout-out, I think, because they are...
The staff.
Yeah. Well, what's that? What's the bit you sit in? Aussies, isn't
Aussie.
It?
They're nearly all... they don't support Chelsea, that's the problem.
Well, they're doing a job, aren't they?
They are.
But they're very lovely.
And lots of them are students.
Mm. They're very, very lovely. They're really
they're
nice.
All at uni or somewhere.
Very friendly.
They're using it for as an opportunity to get some extra dosh.
But, you know, they're very they're friendly, very so nice.
It's a lovely area
Will
to
you
sit.
Have turkey pie tomorrow?
No, it'll just be Christmas.
Nothing like
Christmas
the
Fulham
dinner.
One. No, it'll be proper.
Received down the road, which was an absolute char.
Yeah.
Looking back at some the other best moments and worst moments, one of the best was seeing Tomoya Bakayoko head off.
Oh, that's very cruel.
That's cruel. I think he's
not great.
Well, so what? You know, he's not.
You were just offering him out on a part exchange.
I know, but I wasn't saying he was bad. I think
Dan's a hypocrite. He's allowed to be.
I'm allowed
Fair
to,
enough.
Yeah. Tomi Bakayoko.
He was bad, though, wasn't he?
He had a mare.
He had a stuck.
Yeah. Absolute mare.
But everyone had a mare last year.
Yeah, but he really did have a mare. He
and unfortunately,
pieces,
he had such a mare that it carried on under Sarri, and he didn't impress Sarri at all.
No.
Yeah, in any stage.
So what are you looking forward to in the next year, JK?
Venison pie?
Yeah, they do have venison pie in there. And they had a specific cheese
focus,
pie the other
focus,
day, which was very
focus,
interesting.
Football, not
that I ate it. I think Sarri making the system work more because, as we've noticed, the major problem is this losing focus in the last 20. Focus again, me them losing focus in the last 20 minutes of the game and not playing the system. This is always his cry. He can't work out what it is, whether they get tired or whether the opposition begin to work out how to prevent them from playing. But it can't be that, because they know how to do that earlier on. It just seems to be that they don't play the roles they're supposed to play for 20 minutes, and it allows the opposition to gain confidence and to score, basically. It seems bizarre that they can have very few shots on goal, and yet they'll score a goal that involves a boot down the pitch and a run after it, or a a heavy cross. You know, I was wondering whether they should be practicing these, you know, ball-booted enormous arc of a cross to the far post. That seemed to be something that Bournemouth, for example, seemed to do quite regularly, and we were lacking.
Mm. We've had a message in from Germany. From our German Brentford fan who listened to
Oh, your mate.
Yeah, my mate. She said it really was an absolute shark. Merry Christmas
absolute
to everyone. Merry Christmas to you too.
What's her name? We'll have to say her name?
MJ.
MJ, happy Christmas. Thank you for listening.
Is that short for Mary Jane?
You can ask her that. She might reply to you.
Good, I'd like to know.
Last Dance of Mary Jane. Lovely Tom
Petty song. But she said it's an absolute shark.
Have a wunderbar Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. Very weird.
Yeah, they put their tree up then and they have their Christmas day on Christmas Eve. I've got German relatives, they do that.
Very strange.
That's good.
Vegan as well.
I think we have spicy biscuits.
We used to do that as well. We used to put the tree up and all the presents were wrapped and everything on Christmas Eve. It's just something that we've learnt that it's really rather too last minute for us. So we, as a country, so we put the tree up whenever we feel like it.
Dan Silver, what are your hopes for 2019?
Top four, a cup, Spurs fifth.
No deal.
No, no, yeah. I don't know, Brexit, it's not that kind of show.
No.
Top four, a cup, and Spurs come fifth, and Pochettino go to Man United.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
And Spurs move into the new stadium in the Europa League, and I'd be very happy.
Well, very, very simple for me. I think we'll get top four. I think we might win a trophy. But, I mean, you know, it'll either happen or it won't it? What I really want to happen, if I could have two things to happen next year, one is to keep Eden Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
And second is to get a blooming striker that can actually score goals regularly.
Yeah.
You know, if we just did those two, I won't complain about anything for at least 5 years. I'm now on record as saying it, so if it happens, I promise not to.
Hazard's stay will be amazing. If we get him on a new contract for 5 years,
we need to keep hold of him.
Yeah.
Because the team, I mean, I know the team's reliant on him, you know, for all sorts of reasons this year, but in a sense, there's an argument, which I'm amazed that we haven't done up till now, really, but there was an argument for building the team around him.
Mm.
But of course, you can't build the team around somebody who might be going in 6 months, and that's the worry. But if we can keep him, I think we can genuinely, you know, we've got a genuinely world-class player, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
We could build that team around him. Sarri will get them playing football that he will like, and I think we could really do something.
And we're not that many players away from a great team, because you've got N'Golo Kante, Rudiger.
Yep.
Great Alonso Kepa.
You didn't even crack a smile then.
I didn't. I know.
You carried on like
face,
a pro.
Face for radio. Yeah,
it's brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic.
Kepa. Yeah, I think we're two or three players away from really challenging.
We are. So there you go.
Brilliant stuff. Anything else from the past year that you want to look back on?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what the high point for me was, personally. It was doing a show with you every Friday, Aaron.
That's a given.
A bit emotional.
That's a given.
Oh, sweet. And also having our Kerry Dixon banner up in the Matthew Hall.
Yeah,
that's not
I was well chuffed
brilliant.
With that, mate.
It looks brilliant.
Well chuffed.
Are there any more banners that Chelsea fans could put up?
I think, you know, one is probably enough at the moment.
Yeah. Could there be one with a bigger logo?
No. I think less is more. It's about Kerry, really.
Yeah,
he likes that. I've got a mini one for you somewhere.
Or just one with the Chelsea fan cast on it.
No, a little mini Kerry banner.
Oh, that's good. I'd like
it. Some mate.
Carrius Champions League final. That was a bloody great
performance. Oh, yes.
That was superb.
Liverpool just scored. Mo Salah.
Oh, no. God.
You just jinxed it, Dan.
I know.
You did. It's all
you
your fault, Dan.
Carrish would have saved that, I'm just saying.
You wouldn't have.
Yeah. I didn't even see it. What happened, apart from him scoring?
Liverpool breaking down the right ball pull back from the byline.
Here we go. Free
here
kick.
Here we go.
It's going to be their year, boys.
Crossed across. That's so blimmin' spawny goal. Wolves, you should have done better with that. Yeah.
Anyway, so Mane to... what's his
Fabinho has been absolutely brilliant.
It's a good goal. He put it away well.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Look at that. He ran off the marker, left him standing.
Outside of the boot, left foot.
Poor defending, really. But he put it away well.
Poor. That defending was an absolute shark. Do join us for the quiz. Of course, we're looking for players to play for both Chelsea and Leicester. At Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Kiddo, what's the phone number?
0208 70 20 55.
Got to get them all involved. Got to keep them all involved. This is Love Sport Radio. were going to begin our preview, but Ray has given us a call. He's in Epsom. How are you, Ray?
Hi there. Happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Ray.
Happy Christmas, Ray. Lovely to hear from you again. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just want to say thank you for all the great shows that you've done on the podcast and the Friday shows.
Thank you. Very kind of you. Thank you,
Ray. And I'm sorry that I caught the show late. Today, so I don't know what names you've already mentioned of the Leicester and Chelsea lot, but has Alan Birchnell been mentioned?
Go on. No, well, has who been mentioned, Ray?
Alan Birchnell.
Only in dispatches on Twitter, but we can add that to the pot. Any more?
No, he's the one. So every time they talk to Alan on, he never mentions Chelsea. He seems to become totally Leicester. And, I remember him, I'm sure like JK does, remember him very well when he played for Chelsea, very blonde and everything.
He always used to play with, a bit like Dennis Law, he had his sleeves always held over his hands and he held them with his thumbs.
I used to play like that.
Did you? Because that was a bit cold.
Yeah. I wasn't as good as Alan Birchnell, though.
I remember there was a goal. I can't remember. I might be with Tommy Baldwin. I can't remember now. But I remember him and Alan Birchnell, whoever the other guy was, played this like Ed tennis from more or less the halfway line. And they got right up to the penalty area. And it's a long time ago. My memory's not as good as it was, but and then I think Birchnell did actually score it. But they actually sort of played this head tennis between them for about 30-40 yards. You know, I always remember that.
Blimey.
And do you remember also while I'm on the line? Do you remember when they used to have the big match on a Sunday afternoon, and when they used to have the you know, the bit at the beginning with all the credits and whatnot? They used to show highlights of games.
Yeah.
And they used to show Charlie Cook, that fantastic run he did, more or less from his own penalty area, and he ran right through the middle of, again, I think it might have been West Ham, I'm not sure. And unfortunately, he didn't score, he hit the crossbar, I think, but it was this fantastic run that he did, and they used to show it every Sunday. I don't know if you remember that.
God, blimey, it's going back away, Ray, isn't it? And they used to change them quite regularly too, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I do go back a long way, like JK.
But you've got me there because I don't remember that, and I was an avid watcher.
I do remember the one with Bobby Gould I'm sure it was at the Bridge. He was playing for Wolves, and it was very icy, and he slipped over and hit the corner flag, and there was a bit of a brouhaha about him putting the corner flag in. Remember that? I don't know. They did a whole BT, I think, re-ran a lot of the big matches, and I've got a DVD of. Basically, big matches. The big match featuring Chelsea. I know that, so it's great.
Yeah, this was in the very early days. I think what was his name? Was it Tony Lorenzo?
Oh, before my time.
Oh yes, this is hugely. As I say, I'm very, very old. My first.
You fit in well here, then, right?
My first game was 1961.
Wow.
So I do go back away. So
you saw? Did you see Jimmy Greaves play, right?
No, he was just before me. He'd already moved on to Milan by the time I got into Chelsea. But I did have some books at home that had pictures of him in a Chelsea kit, and I was really, you know. But some trouble is always associating with Tottenham now, and it does spoil it rather. But he obviously was a great player.
Yeah. So you started supporting us when we were. Just about, did we not get relegated in 61? Was it 62?
62.
Yeah. And then Doherty.
No, 61, because then we were back 62, 63.
Yeah, under Tommy Dock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you're at the beginning of the Tommy Dock.
No, we're sorry, we were 62, 63 in. Sorry, we were 62, 63 in the second division, and we played Portsmouth and won 7-0.
That's right.
And came up.
Yeah,
it came was up the following year.
The Tommy Doherty
period, season.
And that book, The Diamonds.
The one that Tim Rolls wrote?
Yeah.
That cracking book, isn't it?
Brings back a lot of memories of those days.
Annoyingly dismal, though, because you know what the outcome is all the time. that's the trouble.
That's true. Yeah, because I can remember the... I used to often go to the... Remember they had the old East Stand before they built the one in the 70s?
Good grief, yeah, of course. Yeah.
There you go.
Ray. Good to hear from you, man. Happy Christmas.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Ray there calling from
Brilliant to hear from him, actually.
Yeah.
I love hearing all these old stories, you know, way before the time I went. Mm. You would have been going then, wouldn't you?
Were you Stamford the Line then?
I went then. No, I was Stamford the Line in 1980.
Yeah. Oh, 1980.
That's nice to hear from Ray. And Alan Birchnell has been added to the list.
He has indeed.
Did he play the White Boots, Alan Birchnell? I don't know why I remember that.
Possibly once.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Maybe.
We played in white and blue, though, a few times then, I remember.
Yeah. Brilliant. Anyway, good for Ray.
That's because he fell in the linesman's paintball, the line marker's paintball, didn't he? 8:28, Love Sport Radio. We'd love to hear from you this evening. 0208 70 25 58. Can you think of any other players to have played for Chelsea and Leicester City? Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Liverpool 1. We're going to begin our preview to the game and the weekend. Chelsea, of course, taking on Leicester. Next, very quickly though, chaps, we've got a couple of minutes. Give us a couple of your previous encounters that you enjoyed, maybe.
With Leicester, there aren't any.
not a trip down Filbert Street.
Indirectly.
When LeBeuf scored that penalty.
Past Peggy Affexed in goal.
Yeah, I always remember that one.
And Erland Johnson falling over in the penalty area. In the cup game.
Indirectly. Hazard's goal against Spurs that gave Leicester the title.
That
was pretty special.
And Guppy scoring using Dewberry.
Denied us the title.
It did.
I work with a cousin of his.
Do you?
Yes, indeed.
Goopy. Yeah. Mr. Goopy.
Guppy. Yeah. Mr. Fish.
Yeah. So there you go. But there you go. In terms of how long have we got? A couple of minutes? We've got to go.
You've got a minute or two. Yeah.
Well, you know. They're a weird side this year. I can't work them out.
Very strange.
You know, they've only won back once or twice in the last six, and yet they haven't
actually lost the last two, haven't they?
Yeah, but they've only conceded over two goals twice this season.
Yeah.
So it's all like 2-1, 2-0, 1-0, 1-all. It seems they're quite solid, which would make sense with Maguire.
Is it Maddison who's a good player?
Well, I was going to say, I think Maddison's blossoming into quite a good player.
Apart from that penalty he took the other day in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
And then Sterling's penalty.
There's a bit of a kind of a rash of those recently, isn't there? There's nothing, I think, more amusing than seeing somebody miss a Panenka, because you look so stupid.
You saw when Sterling missed and the goalkeeper was like, ha, 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 ha.
Yes, he did, over his head.
But it really is comedy. I mean, they look brilliant when they come off, because they make the goalkeeper look stupid, but when you do it and you miss like that, you just look absolutely stupid.
They've got Ben Chilwell as a great fullback as well.
Yeah, they've got some good players.
I'm still a fan of Vardy.
Yeah,
I think hugely he's a terrific good player.
Great
he's
player.
A very nasty streak. But
yeah, he's killer. Edge. It's what you want. It's what you want. Scores goals. That's why he does. Yeah. Morata could learn something.
He's actually probably a very good Sarri player just because of his speed.
Well, I think so. And he's got a bit of skill.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, chaps, I'm going to leave you with one quiz question that we'll come back to with the answer to. You mentioned Peggy Arpexford was the goalkeeper that day for Leicester City. Was it Frank LeBeuf who scored?
Yeah, 90th minute.
Okay, Peggy Arpexford won seven trophies in his career.
Won seven trophies.
How many career appearances did he make? It was a 16-year career. Played for Lens, played for Marseille, played for Coventry City, played for Leicester, played for Liverpool, played for a couple of other clubs here and there on loan. How many career appearances did he
make? How long did he play for?
16 years. We'll find out the answer next.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, time for the opposition view on Love Sport Radio. I'm not sure if we should let our next guest tell us the answer to our quiz question.
Do you think he'll know?
Yeah, it's a question.
Right? He may do. Let's ask him. Steve Walsh is on the line, former Leicester City defender.
Good evening,
guys. How are you, Steve?
Hi, Steve.
Excellent, thanks. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on your show.
Thank you for joining us. Did you hear the quiz question before the break?
I didn't, no.
Right, okay. So your old colleague, Peggy Arpexford, won seven trophies in his illustrious career. But how many games did he play through that 16-year career, which began in 1989 and ended in 2005? I'll give you our answers in the studio. JK to my left went for 583 games. Chidge went for 433 games. And Dan Silver went for 125. Do you know the exact number?
I'll go
125.
It was 47.
47?
47 games.
Well, I was close.
47 games.
Unbelievable.
He was known as he was just known as the guy who picked up the medals on the bench. And after having spells with Coventry City, He was offered a contract with Chester City, but said he was refusing to play anywhere below the second.
Well, he picked up some big bonuses, I can tell you that.
I wonder what he's up to now. That's the thing. I'd love to know.
He's probably a coach somewhere, like Lawns or something.
I spoke to him a few weeks ago. I think he's doing some agency work, I think. Over in,
what, in football,
France. Yeah. So I believe, yes, yeah.
Steve, question: what's Ian Marshall doing these days? Because I always remember him.
Marshy, well, yeah. he has just come back from South Africa. He tried to go and live over there, and he's come back to Leicester. He's now working as an ambassador in one of the rooms in the hospitality, okay, and playing golf every Friday. Nice. So.
Good stuff.
When I used to buy the Premier League albums, he used to have the worst photo in every album.
Yeah.
He looked miserable in every photo.
Well, he still is, I can tell you.
One other question, very quickly. Akinbaye and Trevor Benjamin, what are they doing now?
I don't know. No. I know what you're insinuating anyway. But
it's all right. We all know where Junior Lewis is. He's still following Peter Taylor everywhere. Yeah. He's still following Peter Taylor. Yeah, exactly.
I always liked you as a striker. How many goals did you score as a striker? Because you did. You flitted between being a striker and a centre-half, didn't you?
I was pushed up there just to get out of the way because I got so many red cards, as you probably
know. That's right. You have the record, Steve. We Googled it. You've got the record. Now, fair play, mate.
Now, but it's, they were proper ones, don't forget, and then...
I know.
So I was shoved up front out of the way, so I couldn't get any red cards.
Brilliant.
And ended up, I think I scored about 60-odd goals in my career, but quite a few, obviously, were from playing up front when I was a converted striker,
Excellent
in the good
stuff.
Old days. And just to let you know, I actually nearly signed for Chelsea,
No way.
I was just thinking...
Tell us a story.
I'll tell us up.
1983, I came down. John Neal was the manager. Yeah. Ken Bates was the chairman, and I think he just took over and bought the club for about £1.
He
bought Chelsea for £1 in 1982. Yeah,
money well spent, Steve.
Yeah, well, Wigan Athletic, who I played for, they owed Ken about $100,000. And he just said, I want me and two other players. So we came down to London and we met John Neal, had a good chat. And obviously, Ken Bates was there. We met him as well. And he was all kind of on, really. Larry Lloyd just didn't want us to sign and refused permission in the end. And we stayed at Wigan Athletic. So,
There we go.
You could have been a Chelsea legend, couldn't you? Isn't that amazing?
you and Joe McLaughlin.
Not spot for Chelsea.
Good man.
So,
well, I think the number of red cards would have definitely gone down well with us, Steve. We like a bit of that.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Listen, we should talk about the game tomorrow, really, shouldn't we? We were talking just before we came on air with you. We find Leicester quite confusing at the moment because they're in 12th, but we were saying they've got quite a solid defence and. They got some very good players.
Yeah, we are, to be honest with you, we are very inconsistent. You just do not know what you're going to get at the moment. And we've not took a point off any of the top six teams. That tells you a bit of a story. We usually play well against the top teams. And at the minute, we've not took one point off any of the top six.
Yeah.
So we're not very optimistic at the minute. But saying that, he's changed the style of play. I don't know whether it's for the better or worse at the moment, but Vardy seems to be not in a lot of games, in and out of games, not getting as much ball as he should do. So it is a different style, and we've got to give it time. I'm not sure how it's going to work. We do play some fantastic football at times, and we're pretty hard to beat sometimes, so games of against the top six, although they've gone close, most of them, we're still in a position where, 4 points from the top six.
Yeah.
We could soon slip down the table. We've got Chelsea, obviously, Saturday, and then we've got Man City at home on Boxing Day. So we've got Everton away and Cardiff at home. So we've got a difficult period coming up where you can see us going either way at the moment.
Mm.
And it's just not knowing how we're going to perform, but we've certainly got some talented players. There's no doubt about
some
that.
Great players. I mean, what's the kind of local thoughts on the manager? Because it's kind of been a bit hit and miss, hasn't it, with Puel in terms of how he's received.
I hear a lot of hearsay where the public and the fans don't seem over happy with the way we're playing and the style of play. But I don't know. It's been a strange one this season so far. And the jury's still out, I guess. But you know, we have got potential, and there's no doubt. You know, tomorrow, even Chelsea, we could come there. We came there last year. I think we stole a 0-0 draw. Yeah. You never know in football what happens, but we're going to have to be really on our guard at the back. We're going to have to be well organised. We're going to have to work hard as a unit and a team, and hopefully we can. You know, if the right players are back from injury, the Chilwell back, and Vardy comes back into the team. You know, he made 7 changes for the Man City game, and what an opportunity to get to
a did well
final.
As well, actually, Steve. I thought they put
Madison's penalty.
He did it last year. The penalties were shocking, but we did this last year, and really, you should have played a stronger team. You know, we could have got through that tie. Yeah. And you're playing Burton Albion in the second in the semi-final.
Got a fair bit of chances.
A final, we're mid-table. You know, what are we looking at? Yeah. You know, I just don't understand.
As a supporter, that drives you up the wall, Steve, when they put in a weakened side, you know, and you know you've got an opportunity to win something.
Yeah, but, you know, saying that, you know, they did really well. Second half, they played well and could have nicked it, you know.
Definitely.
But there was no excuses, you know, than penalties. I've got Muzzy Izzet as my colleague. We've got an academy, and I said, we had a game on Wednesday with our players. I said, right, any of you take a penalty, we get a penalty. Any of you take a penalty, like they did last night, I'm dragging you off. No chance. Cool. I'd have fined them 2 weeks' wages, each of them, you know. But still, what a chance it was. Yeah. And,
it's frustrating because I think it was a great chance to kind of get the semi-finals. I think I would have played a stronger team. Arguably, you know, you take a loss against Chelsea versus a League Cup semi-final, I would imagine, being a Leicester supporter.
I think so. That's how I would. I definitely think that way. But obviously, you know, the big picture is, are we, you know, we our last 7 games were against teams where we should have been taking a lot more points and we haven't. And now we're coming into a period where, like I said, it's going to be a difficult month. And we'll see more where we are in you know, towards the end of January, you know, before I can really look at it and think, you know, how well we're doing or how badly we're doing. That's how on a knife edge at the moment it is.
Who should we look out for tomorrow in particular?
Vardy and Madison. Madison's a creator. Vardy can finish on his day. There's no doubt about that. Harry Maguire, obviously, at the back, in set pieces. Demarai Gray, if he's playing, you know, he's a talent. He really certainly is. He, you know, when he's running at players with pace and counter-attacking, we know we've got some fast counter-attacking players.
Al Brighton had a very good game during the week, didn't he?
He's a workhorse. He does, you know, he's been brilliant, to be honest with you. And he's been in and out of the team, but he's always Mr. Reliable, is Al Brighton. There's no doubt about that. Big Wes is steady at the back. Michael, as we all know,
good goalkeeper.
Our best 11 tomorrow could turn out, and you never know. You know, the odds are stacked against us, obviously. You know, but it's going to be an interesting game. It really is. But when you look, you know, the Hazard's back, William Pedro, you know, it's going to be a tough ask with the quality that Chelsea have. I was in New York about a couple of weeks ago and watched the Chelsea Man City game, and because I was doing some work for Leicester City, you know, over in New York, and we were in I forget what the place was called, but there was quite a few games on in the sports
Legends
area. That's it. Yeah,
there we go. We know it well.
It was brilliant. Mm. Yeah, and me and Matt Elliott watched the Chelsea Man City game. Brilliant game. Yeah.
How do you see this one panning out tomorrow, pal?
Right, obviously, like I've said, I think it's going to be a tough ask for Leicester City to get anything out of it. If we do, then I think, you know, on our day we can turn up, and like I said, we're going to have to be really well organised, well drilled. I'm guessing that we'll sit back a little bit and defend deep, and try and, you know, keep Hazard at bay. So, you know, if we can get a point out of it, it'd be a result for us, a massive result. But I don't suspect that will happen. I think Chelsea at the moment, you know, on the back of the last couple of results, the heavy favourites, as we know. But be good to see Kante, and I don't know what's happening with Drinkwater at the moment, but two ex Leicester lads. Don't know if this
doesn't quite fit in the plan.
Yeah, he's
very strange
signing that was.
Yeah, Kante does though.
Kante's been brilliant.
Very good.
I mean, yeah,
love him.
Fantastic. Yeah,
Steve. Brilliant stuff. Thank you for joining us. Very quickly, make sure you let your pal Peggy know that if he wants to get into sort of voiceovers and acting,
yeah,
that we might have a client for his agency over here. JK will be willing to, you know.
I was going to say about 30 games, but it was more, wasn't it? 45.
Right. Well, Wikipedia says 39, but, you know, another website says 47. I'm going in anywhere between 30 to 50, you know. But, yeah, that's just the way it went with Peggy. Thank you very much, Steve Walsh. Absolute hero joining us. This evening to give us the opposition.
Lovely bloke.
Thanks, Steve.
Love Sport, 5:58 AM. So here is Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Look to the future now. It's only just begun.
Yeah, 12 minutes to 9 across the capital. Good evening. This is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea Fancast. A big thanks to Steve Walsh once again for joining us. What a top guest.
He was great.
Brilliant bloke. Loved
that
him.
That was fun.
Nearly joined Chelsea. What a great story.
What a great, wonderful story that was. And he'd have been a legend. He would have been in John Neal's side. Yeah. What were they made of them? Three.
We had Doug Rugvi, who could kick people and get red cards. It would have been great fun having two in the defence.
But he might have played him at striker, though.
Joey Jones, didn't we?
He
might have played him instead of Kerry.
No.
You never know.
Do you reckon he was a striker in the sense of like a target man?
Yeah, he was.
He scored some good goals, I remember.
Ian Marshall was the same. He was a defender slash striker, wasn't he?
Paul Warhurst. Paul Warhurst the same.
Ian Marshall.
Paul Warhurst.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, because Paul Warhurst was centre half. Sheffield Wednesday. And he was suddenly excellent.
Sheffield Wednesday semi finals. He destroyed us.
He was at Bolton as well towards the end.
Then he went to Blackburn, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was a terrific
player. He was at Bolton, I remember.
Didn't he play for England? Didn't he suddenly come and play for England?
Wasn't he? He played like one cap. Him and Jason Wilcock. Yeah. One cap each.
Yeah, I thought he was going to play. I liked him very much.
We've got Mark in Cincinnati, Ohio. Yay. He's given us a call in. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Good, mate. Happy Christmas. Sorry, a bit far away from the mic this sitting. Happy Christmas. There you go. You get sound effects for free on this show, Mark.
Mark, how nice to hear from you.
I appreciate it.
How's Cincinnati?
Cold.
Is it? Yeah, it's cold here. It's wet here as well, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Good old Ohio.
Give us your best moment of 2018, pal.
I'd have to say winning the FA Cup.
Yeah,
that's a good shout.
A lot of highlights for the whole year. There was a couple good victories, particularly when we went to Wanda and beat
Madrid.
I believe that was last year, was it not? Was that 18? No, that was 17.
That was 17, back end of 17.
Last year was such a blind moment for me from last year, but I would definitely say the FA Cup.
So, Mark, have you ever heard the song We All Follow the Chelsea Over Land and Sea and Leicester?
No.
Ah, well, there is a song. It's very famous.
Should we give a quick
rendition? No, after you, John. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jonathan.
You failed to say
the Athun.
Mr. Kidd.
You going to sing it for me?
Yeah, he is. No. Properly.
What, we all follow the Chelsea over land and sea. And Leicester!
Would you like the Chelsea on to victory?
All together now.
I've heard that song in the stadium once before.
There you go. So would you like?
I might have heard that in the stadium once.
Exactly.
Possibly,
you would have done.
The crowd was singing it.
Yeah, we sing it nearly every
on
week.
TV.
Would you like to know why we say and Leicester?
Yes, I would love to know.
Because not a lot of people know this.
I know it.
Shh. There's a lot of mythology around this, actually, Mark. There is. But I have the definitive answer because, Jonathan, calm down. What's this book, Jonathan?
Carefree, but he hasn't got everything
Chelsea
in there.
Chelsea Chants on Terrace Culture.
Ooh, it's a corner.
Yeah, but we're not talking about your song. Anyway, look, the reality is, and I didn't know this, but apparently in about 1968, Chelsea's first team beat Leicester. Well, then the reserves travelled to what was known as a football combination game, so basically a reserves game. And apparently Leicester had been a bit naughty with Chelsea about a week before. So basically reprisals were had. This was very much the age of taking ins. And in those days, a very popular song was "We Hate Nottingham Forest, we hate Arsenal too.
Okay,
we hate," and we always say, "We hate West Ham United,
because Chelsea, we love you.
And Leicester." No, that wasn't too late. Yeah. But basically, somebody popped "and Leicester" because they didn't like Leicester either, you see. So that's where it started. But it got popularised in the mid-70s when we found ourselves playing teams like Leicester again. And apparently, some bloke and a coach, because we used to go up and coaches those days, he's on the M1 through the Midlands towards Nottingham, and apparently one of them noticed that the motorway sign says "to the north
and Leicester."
And Leicester. And therefore, it kind of became appropriated and was using that song ever since. So there you go. How does that feel, Mark, to know that?
That's an interesting history lesson.
Well, there you go.
Are you going to top it up, kiddo?
No, the second version was the one that I was always aware of.
But it started with a "We hate Nottingham Forest."
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's how it started, so there you go.
I didn't know about the first one, didn't know. I think that's apocryphal, the first one.
Mark, what are you looking forward to the game at the weekend?
Always. I live for the 90 minutes I get to watch Chelsea.
What do you think it's going to be? What do you think the score's going to be?
I'll say 2-0. I don't really like doing score predictions. It's so hard to judge with the refereeing. It only takes one daft decision to mess up a score line. But I think we'll win 2-0. I feel comfortable with Hazard in the false nine role.
I agree.
I like him there.
Agree.
It's better than Morata.
I'd
rather play 10 men than play Morata.
There you go. There you go. 2019. Only one word for you, mate. VAR. Is that one word or is it three?
VAR.
Yeah, it's coming in.
Yeah, it is. There you go. Mark, VAR. Season's greetings to you. Chidge.
Well done, Mark. Great.
Yeah, cheers, Mark. And I think we should... I wonder if he can... Hopefully he can still hear, but we should thank Mark particularly, and Dan, and all the regular callers we've had since we've been doing the show.
Because been brilliant.
We love them, and it's great to hear them.
Thanks,
particularly,
guys.
Particularly when they're from all over the world.
Where are the Mixlr guys? We chivied to bring us.
We didn't on Monday, though.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, I don't remember. I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they just listened to me.
You'd gone for a wee.
Had I?
Yeah.
No, it's you who goes for a wee.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got the quiz. I've got the quiz result. If you know, those of you who have been listening since 7 will know that we have had a quiz, which is which players have played for both Leicester and Chelsea. We've found out recently that nearly Steve Walsh, but he doesn't get on the list. And we've had some great responses from you, and you've all done very well. A lot of you have got them right. But I found 18, and they are in no particular order. N'Golo Kante, Schwarzer, Mark Schwarzer, Danny Drinkwater, Robert Huth, Frank Sinclair, Muzzy, is it? Dennis Wise.
Oh, God, why has he played, didn't he?
Yeah, somebody mentioned that on Twitter. Yeah. They didn't mention this, though. Steve Kemba.
Yes. Right? Very
and
good.
They, and they didn't manage Dennis Rowe.
Yes.
No. Alan Birchnell, Keith Weller got a mention.
Yeah.
Patrick Van Aanholt, didn't they?
Oh, good shout.
Very good shout.
PVA.
Jeffrey Bruma.
Good shout.
Very good shout. Yeah. But this is my favourite. Even Chadder might have struggled with this one. David Calderhead, who, of course, managed Chelsea as well. In the 30s. Yes. Connor Clifford. That's a left field one.
Yeah.
Chris Garland. Somebody mentioned Chris Garland.
Yes, of
but
course.
They didn't mention these two, and I'm astonished. David Speedy.
Did he go there?
Yeah. And David Webb.
Did Webby go there?
Webby went there too. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So there are 18 of them.
Never knew that. But forgotten that.
There you go. That's
must have been after Queen's Park Rangers.
Your last quiz of the year.
Yes, it is. I love that. It's really fun. I'm going to do this every week. But I think these are quite fun particularly, actually. They float a bit better
more
than
remote,
the other ones.
Aren't they?
Yeah, and it's relevant.
We can make the whole programme about quizzes.
Like Chelsea versus Huddersfield. Can we have, like...
There'll probably be about two, though.
Casey Palmer.
Joe Allen.
Chris Hutchings.
Chris Hutchings.
Good shout.
Yeah. He had a fabulous sort of, like, quiff, didn't he? Like, gel quiff.
Look, can I have a quick, before we go, I just want to mention this, because the Supporters Trust, we did this last year and we're doing it again on Saturday, but we've organised a collection for the Hammersmith and Fulham Food Bank, so people can bring that. It's on our website, just go to ChelseaSupportersTrust.com and you can find out what you have to bring, because they're quite specific. But bring a bag of it from Sainsbury's over the road, take it out Fulham Broadway, and opposite that you'll see that the CFC UK stall is there, so leave it there before 2 o'clock and you can help some people who need help.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff.
We will do good stuff.
Your predictions for tomorrow, chaps?
3-0.
3-1.
2-1.
I've changed mine to 3-1.
I'm having 3-0.
Copycat. 3-1.
Yeah.
I'll go for a 3-0. Thank you very much, Shunt. It's been
an honour,
privilege and a pleasure joining you for 2018. Chidge, I'll see you next week.
You will, mate, on Thursday. I'm looking forward to that. It'd be great fun.
Bring your turkey sandwiches.
I will. But thank you for putting up with us since March, mate. You've been heroic.
You're a legend. So we love you.
Well done.
We've done well.
Thank you very much. It's Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio, available on demand and via your regular podcast provider. Happy Christmas.
AM Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.